podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in and talk about the topic today, I'll get it out. I'm leaving that in. I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We have a special, quote unquote, special going on right now where we're giving quarterly memberships. We're super excited about that. People seem excited about it. And then that maybe come in and join for 3 months and take a couple months off. I personally would never leave teachhoops.com, but you have that option. And it's great. So go over and check it out, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
So that's kind of something, that's pretty much the main parts that I talked about. Obviously wanted to get your just feel about, you know, this, the whole COVID thing and what, you know, what can you do and what.
What are, so give me three strengths of the girls coming back.
So we're relatively small. The exciting news is we potentially have, so basically this is how it works is, so we know because of my relationship with Jack that runs TNBA, people know our program. And once they heard I was coach, I had a AAU coach reach out and say, "Hey, Corey, got this girl. She's 6'1", going to be an incoming junior, pretty talented. You know, she's thinking about transferring and UC, where I coach, might be a potential spot for her." Well, I'm one of those ethical coaches, coach. And If I was unethical, I would say, "Hey, let me talk to my school. We'll start working out. Let me meet her. Let me meet your parents, all that stuff."
Right.
But we don't do it that way at UC. I direct them to admissions. I have them apply. And from there, they can go on a tour and stuff like that. And then if they decide to go on the tour and apply, then they can meet me and go from there. Meet the principal.
Yep. Yeah. That's the right way to do it. I'm telling you, man, I've had NBA guys. I have never, as soon as you walk in the building and you're going through a tour, game on.
Yeah.
Like, game on. Like I have, but until that point, until you've gone through the process, I'm the exact same way. It's like,
yeah, and I told
because
him
then you've applied already. You've done all that, those things. Yeah. Then it's not like, then you're just coming to visit, then I can talk to you. But until then, I don't talk to you. No, that's against the rules. I agree.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's so many, Steve, there's so many unethical coaches down here. And that's my fear about AAU is, and that's a whole nother conversation we can get into with what I want my girls to do. You know, Jack recommended, "Hey, eventually you probably want to have your own AAU team because it's almost like one of those unnecessary evils." And I'm like, I really just hate AAU.
I know, but do you think you could keep it small enough that you could build relationships in the summer with them? Because they don't want to leave home, and yeah. If you've built it, it's just you don't want it so big that people aren't getting playing time, that you're not able to talk about strengths and weaknesses. You know, I don't know what the rules are in Florida about coaching your kids in the summer, but if you can do it, I would use it. I think that's
it's free reign. You can.
Yeah. So I think he's right, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think that, and I think
keep it small, yeah. Like seven girls. Yeah.
There's so many positives to it as well. I mean, you being a private school and being in Florida, you know, you have that university Christian jersey on and you're acting the right way and doing the right things.
Right.
Maybe throwing some wins in there and having fun. You
right.
Start seeing kids like, "Oh, hey, like, that's, you know, that's a cool little program."
Well, and that's why you go to Orlando and then you do a fun day at the park. You do stuff like that where you all of a sudden it's like, "Whoa, this is all right. This isn't just about basketball."
Yeah. And then you start to have people, especially in the AAU scene, maybe start to look at you guys and say, "Hey, maybe we want to go to UC and play basketball."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really the ultimate goal. When I decided to take over a program, I want it to be so great as far as not necessarily, you know, winning state titles. Well, that's going to be nice. That stuff comes along, but just being so great that we actually have girls saying, "Hey, I don't want to, like, I want to transfer.
I want to stay. I want to stay. Yeah.
I want to stay, or man, I want to go, like, I want to go play for them, because that coach, even if they can, even if their parents don't let them, I want them to be like, this coach is awesome. These players are awesome. Like, this culture is so cool. I want to play for that. That's kind of my goal. My end goal is like just having that program that's super well known, not necessarily because of me, but because of the culture that the
so small. Can you shoot?
Yeah, we can. So we have so we're small, but we're super athletic. I mean, the thing I like about the school is it's diverse, the population of school as far as ethnicity. We have probably, as far as I know, maybe like 40 or 50%, somewhere between 40 to 50% African American, and then maybe 40 to 50% white, and then maybe a little bit of Hispanic. So most of our team is African American. They're fast, they're athletic, they're small, but they could shoot. We have a senior that probably shoots. I mean, I was shooting with her the other day on the gun, and she probably wide open can shoot 70%. I mean,
she's like my son. This is from the guy's side, so I'm not sure if it's the same on the girl's side. Well, I can tell you, because our girls team came down and played. Anyway, the style of play tends to be very similar from a lot of the teams I've seen in Florida, offensively at least.
Yeah.
If you can defend, you can win in Florida is my
right.
I mean, the reason we've won two national tournaments in Florida is because we can defend. Right. Like the other teams have had better athletes, the other teams have had better, bigger players, and, you know, maybe even better shooters. We're playing like an Ohio team in the finals when we come down here.
I'm that type of coach that's like, I was talking to my senior, that girl I was just talking about, she was all worried about offense and what we're going to run.
If you can play man D, you can win. I'm telling you, man.
I told her, I said, listen, Ree, I said, I already know two of my starters. And she's like, what, coach? I said, the best defender and the best rebounder. She's like, coach, that's so weird. I said, you're right, it is. But the best defender, the best rebounder. So if you can do one of those two things, guess what? You're going to start. I don't care how many points you score.
Right.
So
I'm telling you, because it's like this. Most of the teams are like, it's like, are you kidding? Like, if you can grind, you got to be able to. Do you have a shot clock?
We do not.
Yeah, if you can grind a little bit, I'm telling you, bring a little bit of that Illinois basketball down there.
Yeah, so that's,
you'll win.
That's gonna be the biggest for me. That's the biggest thing as far as X's and O's go, or, you know, strategy, is trying to really teach them how to play defense. And that's what I've been trying to throw in randomly, you know, at these little individual workouts, is trying to get them to understand defense. But it's so hard, you know, like things like shell drill and just
help side, pack line, all that stuff, man. If you run that.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about
and
that.
You can't, and you can't turn, and you don't turn the ball over, you'll win. I'm telling you, from what I've seen, the games the I've watched.
I said, I knew their names. When I came in, I knew their names. I knew their strengths and their weaknesses. And they're like, coach, how do you know so much about us already? I said, you guys don't think I did my homework? I said, I watched 5 pieces of film from last year, and that's all I needed to watch. I was done. I was like, I know exactly what our weaknesses are. I know what we need to be good at, what we need to be better at. What we need to be better at is learning IQ, learning how to play defense.
Right.
And what we need to be better at is not turning the ball over every possession. Which I can't stand.
That's a Midwest thing. That's a Bo Ryan thing. I can't handle turnovers.
And I told him, I made a joke the other day. I said, I would rather you pull up from half court than throw the ball away.
I told him, I tell my guys, I'd rather have you eat the ball, like eat it, than turn it over. Like, I tell them, we actually practice. I've done this, and I've said, everybody grab a ball. All right, let's do the football tuck. I said, I'd rather have you hold it and get the 5 count, because at least we can get back and defend. Because when you turn it over, they're going to score a layup.
Yeah.
Or they're going to dunk on us. So eat the ball. Like, I'd rather have you eat it than turn it over. Like,
for sure.
Yeah.
So we have so we have that one senior. Then we have another senior who's probably – so that first senior is probably like 5'2". She's very short. If she was taller, I would say that she has a for sure chance to potentially go small D1. But I think that size, because she's going to play point guard. She said she wanted to play like a off guard. And I said, no, you're playing point guard. You're the fastest girl I've ever seen, and you can shoot, and you can distribute the ball a little bit. I think we're going to have you play point guard.
Well, and your sell to her is, does she want to play in college?
Yeah, and that's what I told her.
You're going to be a point guard in college. Yeah, like that's you're 5'2". You know, come on. Like I'm trying to help you play in college.
You're going to play point guard.
Yeah.
And she's so fast. It's crazy. She's the fastest girl I've ever seen. So
she's going to pick up in the full court then.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Yeah. She's pretty good defensively. She can get better. Her lateral.
If she's 5'2", you should just make her like a little gnat. Like pick up whoever brings the ball up for the other team. Your job for the entire game is to pick them up and just harass them if she's quick like that.
So the game I watched, one of the games I watched on film, they played a box and one, and she was on their best player. So I could tell that she's, you know, got that stamina, got that speed. So, she needs to be, we got to work on her her lateral, side to side quickness, because that's going to be important defending.
Right.
But as far as straight up speed, I mean, she could give me a 80 meter head start in the 100 meter and still beat me probably.
Right.
So she's that quick. And then we have another senior. This is one of the ones that is kind of going to be one of those project girls. She could definitely play at the college level. She cannot shoot. Her shot is really, really ugly. I mean, I'm sure she can shoot. Her shot's not consistent enough to make it. But she's probably 5'9". 5'10", but she plays guard, so she's dribbles.
You gotta get her on Dr. Dish then, or the gun or whatever. Yeah,
she dribbles the heck out of the ball too. She's got that, you know, that swag, that, you know, kind of street ball mentality. She can really, really handle the ball. She just IQ wise, defensively and offensively too, I just don't think they know how to play. Like them as a team as a whole, they don't really understand like IQ. So that's going to be one of my main jobs, is kind of bringing that Midwest IQ fundamentals.
I'm telling you, man, if you can do it, you'll win. You'll win. I'm telling you.
Yeah, not necessarily throwing in, you know, like not necessarily throwing in 20 sets, because I don't expect them to remember all those, but maybe throwing in one or two, just – you know, easy.
I think a big part is just you got to convince them to let them do a little bit more. Here's my theory: is let them have some more freedom offensively, and you rein them in on D. Like this is, we got to do this. Like, let's go. We can go offensively. I have no problem with that, but we just got to defend. Like, no one wants. I mean,
So those two seniors, those are right now, as of, I think there might be one more that one of my seniors is trying to get to come out to some of the warm up, or the practices or the, so she's trying to get another girl to come. Then we have 1, 2, 3, 4 juniors, and then that potential tall 6'1" junior would be transferred in. But the two juniors are about the same size. They're 5'6", 5'7". They both can shoot it a little bit. Their shots are not what I would call incredibly pretty, but they
doesn't matter. I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer in shot. Yeah. It's just about reps. And to be honest with you, you can't change it now. You can't change it.
No, for sure.
Don't tweak it. Rep it at this point. Yeah.
One of the girls is what I would consider probably the hardest worker and maybe the best communicator with me. She's been the one that's actually telling me, hey, I'm not going to be there today at workouts, or I am going to be there. The other girl is not as good at communicating, but she's probably our best player.
For her
age. She is probably the best defensive player by far. Lateral side to side movement. She's incredibly quick. She's incredibly fast, straight sprinting. She can handle the ball. She can shoot it. She can take it to the basket. She can play defense. She's really good. She's a little raw still. There's still some things I want to work with her, but I think she's definitely a must have on the court at all times kind of girl. And then we have one girl that's another junior that I'm really excited about, that I asked my AD. I said, when he told me that one girl was leaving, I said, well, is so-and-so coming back? Cause I watched her on film. I really like her. And he said, yeah, we think so. She is on the fence. I think there's some financial things with for school and stuff like that we're trying to figure out. But if she can stay, she's probably 5'9", 5'10", as well. But she's also kind of like a guard, small forward mix.
So you have some ability coming back.
Yeah, no.
Depth might be a problem a little bit.
Depth is definitely a problem. But, you know, that's probably what it's going to look like at small school.
Right.
And then that senior that I was talking about, the taller one that is a little lazy, her sister is going to be in eighth grade. She's about 5'8", and she handles it just as good as the senior.
Right.
But they have that, like, that like nonchalant with the ball, like just kind of.
Yeah, that's fixable. That I don't. I never worry about that too much.
Yeah. But that just to kind of give you an idea.
And what's your season? What's the window of your season? When do you start? When do you end?
So they start at the beginning of, or like roughly maybe beginning to mid November.
Okay.
Maybe more towards the mid. Okay. And then they go all the way till February.
Okay.
Maybe beginning of February is when like the district tournament starts.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm still learning that too. So I'm used to Illinois, and I'm sure you know it's Illinois is regional, sectional.
That's like us.
Super sectional in state.
Right.
So, we're not like that. I think in Florida, and I'm still learning, it goes district, and then you play in a, and then you play, I think in a, I don't even know.
I know. And it's like, well, in California, they don't even have like state champions. They have like, it's so big that they're like, Northern, there's a state, there's a champion in Northern California, and then there's one in Southern. I mean, they're so big that,
yeah
it would take
in like Florida. They play like, you play in your district tournament, and if you win, it's like an automatic bid into the final tournament, I guess, into like the bigger tournament. And then if you get second and still have a good record or have a good enough record to get in, sometimes you're like a
wild card.
You get a bid in somehow. So I'm still. It's weird.
You're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, I will. So, yeah, that's pretty much the makeup of the team. There's another junior that didn't really play all that much. Kind of a little 5'5", little white girl shooter, kind of shooter type deal. So I'm excited to get her working as well, because she could be someone that, you know, potentially comes off the bench and knocks down some shots for us. She can shoot it as well. She's probably close to Rihanna, where she can make probably – unguarded, she can probably be, you know, 60-ish%.
Ooh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other facets of the game, it's kind of got to get her acclimated to that so she can, you know, especially defensively.
Right. Like you said, so what other concerns or help can I be?
So I just
I'm going to tell you one thing. You're going to have like, I would start a little notebook, because the number of questions you're going to have is going to grow exponentially.
Yeah, I had about five really important ones down. I wanted to talk a little bit about what you would do with the kind of small group or individual developments that I do have. I'm lucky enough to be really close with Jack, to where that's all he does is he's like a trainer. So right. He gives me ideas here and there. But as far as like what you think is maybe – now that I have them, I want to
What small group? What's that constitute?
So most is going to be probably all of them, which would be potentially seven.
Okay.
Least there's probably two or three girls that come every time.
So anywhere from two to three to six or seven. So I mean, first of all, I would work a lot on ball handling, a lot on shooting. I mean, those are two skill sets that you can like get better at with small groups. Then I would try to, especially when you have the six, I would try to do a lot of 2-on-2, 3-on-3 and work on the defensive aspect.
Yeah.
You know, they still want to play. They're kids. They still want to play. But that's what I would spend a lot of time on that. Just because I think you're going to get a better sense. I can get a better sense of players. Like during my tryouts for my team, I do a lot of 2-on-2, 3-on-3, just because I can sense their strengths and weaknesses faster than even 5-on-5. That's what I would do. A lot of shot stuff. I mean, again, it's going to depend on what kind of offense you think you're going to run, as far as what kind of shots you want to work on. So some of the girls that are in the middle range, it would be about reps.
Yeah.
It would literally be about like, I got to get you 200 shots. I don't care. They can be stationary. And then the other girls, some other girls, it's like, you know, what kind of shots are you going to get in your offense? And I don't know what you're going to run offensively, but that's where you got to break some of that stuff down, I think.
Well, that's another one of my questions, because I would, you know, I consider myself as X's and O's. I consider myself fairly good at, but I'm one of the types of person that, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm one of those people that just loves to learn. And so that's why I was reaching out to you, is because I was like, Steve, I just want to get talking. I want to talk basketball. And
yep.
I'm one of the guys that like, I'm not set, you know, I'm not set in my ways. You know, I'm confident in my ability to coach, but I want to learn as much as I can, because there's so many things out there that I haven't done.
Right.
You know, I've been actually listening. So on my drives to Jacksonville is a perfect opportunity to listen to your podcast. So unfamiliar with all of your podcasts. I'm trying to listen to all of them, but there's a lot.
There's a lot. And then recent ones, it's like I've been trying to do like themes. So like this last month with like practicing, and then the next month is going to be like building a program. I mean, I'm just trying to find themes because otherwise it's just too much. But
yeah, I've listened to a lot of those lately. The ones I'll scroll through before I get on my drive, and I'll find the ones that are about culture and about.
Yeah, and there's going to be more of those coming. I literally, when COVID happened, I was like doing 12 a week, 13 a week. It was like, because I was just trying to get content at that point.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to make one to teach coaches what to do during no season.
Well, I've already started working on that. Trust me, that course is already going. I'm working on that because I'm working on it for my team. Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy world if that happens. But
yeah, that was one of my questions about offense, like X's and O's, like what they I want to do.
Do you want first good shot, or do you want great shot, or do you want like? That's what you're going to have to figure out.
Not to get off topic, but before I forget to tell you, so what I've been kind of preaching to my girls so far, because we're trying to talk about defense and how important it is. One of the biggest things I've told them is kind of my goal for the year is on defense. Our mission is we want one contested 2-point shot every possession.
Yep. So run them off the line. Yep.
Kind of like my thing. That's kind of the thing I've been preaching a lot. I'm not used to saying stuff like that, but I really want to commit to it. I think the coach, I want to say his last name is, it's Luke, is it Yakovich or Jokovic from, you know who I'm talking about, from Texas Tech or.
Somebody. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And he talked a lot about the defense and like, he wants 1 2-point contested shot every possession. And I love that because.
It's simple. Yeah.
And then they tell me, well, they're like, what if we can test a 3-point shot? And I said, yeah, that's great. But I guess the only negatives I think about when they take a 3-point shot is, well, if they make it, it's more points.
Right.
And if they make it, it's a longer rebound. So, I'm talking about.
And you're not going to be, it's what I would say to them is like, life isn't perfect either. I'm not always, I'm not always perfect. So the imperfect things happen. That's fine.
Ideally, one step inside the 3-point line, we can contest that shot. That's great.
Oh yeah, that's the worst shot in basketball. I tell them that's the worst shot. Like either at least go get fouled at that point, go to the rim or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of my. That's okay.
I love that. I love that. That's simple too. I'm gonna write that down. I like that. Okay. Yeah. No. I think that's a good idea. Contested. I meant contested. It's been a long morning with the doggos, and I have my niece. I have my nephews here who are 2 and 6, 2 and 7. How old is she? So it's like I'm not used to. I forgot what it was like to have little ones running around. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anything else? What else?
Yeah. So just like obviously, I think defensively.
And we can dive into these deeper later, but yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So defensively and offensively are just the two things that I wrote down. Like, kind of wanted to talk about just after I gave you kind of the rundown of what I had. What would be the best? Kind of. Obviously,
can they handle the rock?
Yeah, I think they can. Yeah, they really do. I think they don't value the basketball as much as they should. You know what I mean? Like, we still have to work on some things to value the basketball.
And what are you thinking offensively?
So I listened to the couple of the podcasts about read and react, but I just don't know. I mean, I think.
Well, read and react takes a while to teach it. Trust me.
I think I want somewhere in between. I'm not saying I want that Midwest style where I teach them all these sets, but I don't want what happened last year where, just to give you an example, the coach would say, hey, special for Rihanna. And what that meant was, hey, we're going to clear out and Rihanna is the person that's going to score no matter what.
Right.
And I'm like,
what happens when the set doesn't work? No, I'm just saying, it's like, if you're going to be, that's why I like sets.
They take a bad shot and I watched it on film. It's like, they had that me attitude of like.
So maybe it's dribble drive. I don't know. I mean, we run a hybrid of read, react, and dribble drive.
Yeah. I would think with the, like having the, like you said, that having a little ability to shoot the ball, the dribble drive, might not be.
Might not be bad. I mean, we run read and react because I want to set some back screens. I want filling the 5 spot. I like some of that stuff. And 2 years ago, we ran more read and react. And then this year, we added dribble drive principles where they could attack the rim.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to figure out too, just by experience, is like how many teams are gonna zone us. You know, that's another thing.
Right, and the thing is, you can run your man offense against zones. I have found that actually, if they're moving and cutting, that's the one good thing about read and react and dribble drive, is there tends to be those. Everyone tends to be moving at times, so zones don't like that. Otherwise, you basically have all these people standing outside, and that's what zones want, because it's easier to defend.
Right. I'm a big fan of screens. Like, Jack always gets annoyed because I'm always talking about in our sets that we run with our AAU program, we run like a basic flex, four low flex.
Are you talking ball screens or off ball screens?
Well, I mean,
because if you're ball screening a lot, I'm coming at you.
I'm not as big on ball screens as I am on like screening away. So I'm just big on screens in general as like a general consensus, but I just love, cause like I'll get in there and run a couple like 3-on-3 or 4-on-4. And like, it's like they start setting screens when I'm in there, or I set screens for them. And they're like, coach, we get open so much easier. I'm like, yeah, I know, because you never set screens. You guys just pass and stand.
So that might be some time. That might be some stuff to work on in your small groups too, is I have found the setting of the screen doesn't tend to be as bad as the use of the screen.
Right.
So if you're thinking you're going to do that during the season, I would definitely spend some time on, you know, working on the use of the screen. So how do you set it up? You know, what happens if they play this way? How are you going to react? I think that's a good use of time in the summer.
Yeah.
In short spurts, because they're going to be bored with it. But
when we get a chance to talk more, some other time, I would definitely love to talk a little bit about the dribble drive and kind of what you know about that. And
For sure.
Stuff like that. And then, you know,
I'll send you some stuff too. I got a couple handouts.
Okay.
I'll send you, I'll find them. So someone else was asking about that. Cause we played, like, was it 3 years ago when I had my last state tournament team, we had to beat another team who had ended up having 2D1 guys, and they would run the dribble drive. So I learned a lot about the dribble drive, cause we had to counter it for them. And then we stole some of it, cause it was, ooh, that works nice. Because I spent so much time kind of breaking it down.
I'm not super familiar with it, so that'd be good.
Yeah, it's good. It's like they tend, I mean, and dribble drive tends to have a big inside opposite low block, you know. So you can do it with five out. It tends to be 4x1 more than five out. But
I'm telling you what, if we can get that 6-1 girl to come in.
Right. Then you could, then that might be a good spot for her on that opposite low block.
Yeah, for sure.
So my takeaways would be in the small group stuff, work on obviously the shooting and the passing, or shooting and the dribbling stuff, but work on the screening stuff, because it sounds like that's kind of your thing. And then what was the other thing I was just thinking about? I'd work on that. And then any other questions? I gotta run off and help with the kiddos here.
Steve, I always have questions for you, but
no, that's worries. No worries. So just let me know. So watch Facebook for office hours, but one-on-one calls, just let me know. I'll find some time in my week.
How does the office hours work? What is that?
So I basically say, hey, we're going to meet at 8 p.m. on Sunday, and whoever shows up. And sometimes it's three coaches, sometimes it's 10 coaches, sometimes
like a big Zoom call or something.
Yeah, it's like, well, let's talk about this, whatever. But no, start a list, and if you have questions, I'm more than willing to help. So, all right, awesome. Hold on one second. All right. Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, jump up and down, like I say. Tell your friends. That would be a good thing. Yeah, sell it. Share this on social media. And then also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.